So I want to start by asking a simple question. Do we live as if Jesus could return at any moment? Are we living like Jesus could return at any moment, like we actually believe that? It's easy for us to get caught up in our daily lives, our work, our families, our routines. And I think that sometimes we forget that Jesus could come back at any time. We don't know when he's coming back. And furthermore, we don't know how much life we have. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised that the plans we have for later today are going to happen. And so, are we living like we actually believe that Jesus is coming back? If we truly believed that Jesus was coming back and that it could happen at any moment, how would our lives look different? Today I want to explore what the Bible says about Jesus' literal physical return to this earth using the illustration from the Peanuts cartoon, specifically about Linus and his belief in the Great Pumpkin. So in that Peanuts cartoon, Linus waits every year on Halloween night for the Great Pumpkin. We're getting close to that time of year where people start decorating for Halloween. The fall decorations come out, the pumpkins come out, the skeletons come out of the closet. Literally and figuratively, right? Linus said, there's three things I've learned never to talk about it in public, and it's religion and politics and the Great Pumpkin. And I'm going to talk about all three today. Skeletons come out of the closet for a lot of politicians this time of year, right? The skeleton decorations come out of the closet and go in the front yard. So Linus, he would sit out in that pumpkin patch every year on Halloween night, hopeful and expectant that this great pumpkin is going to rise out of the pumpkin patch of whatever pumpkin patch has the most favor with the great pumpkin, whoever's most sincere in their belief that this great pumpkin is going to rise up out of the pumpkin patch and deliver toys and goodies for all the children. And he waits, and he waits, and I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it, but he convinces that little Sally to go out there and sit in the pumpkin patch with him on one Halloween. And they miss the opportunity to trick or treat. She laments later on, I've missed the opportunity for tricks and treats. Because they're sitting in this pumpkin patch waiting for the great pumpkin. And I think sometimes some of us have been tempted to look for the tricks and treats of the world instead of waiting on the return of Jesus as we should, because it seems like, well, maybe those things are more appealing in the moment. And if we're living like we actually believe Jesus is going to be coming back, then we're going to miss out on some opportunities that this world has to offer us. That's sometimes how we live, isn't it? So Linus's belief is that the great pumpkin is going to rise up out of this pumpkin patch, and it shapes his behavior, even when others are laughing at him, even when others are saying, that is totally unbelievable. But yet those same people, the same cartoon characters, they have a deeply held belief in a man with a beard who says, ho, ho, ho. You know, that's not crazy. But the great pumpkin, come on, why are you believing in that still? You've sat out there in the pumpkin patch all these years and you've missed out on the tricks and treats and he never comes. The But Linus sticks to his beliefs. He's sincere, and it shapes his behavior. So here's the point. If we believe Jesus could come back at any moment, would our lives reflect that belief? Just like Linus, our actions would be shaped by our faith. If we really believed Jesus could return tomorrow, we would probably act differently today, wouldn't we? So there's three things I want you to think about today. If you hear nothing else, remember this. I believe, and I intend to show you, that the Old Testament shows consistently that the Jews who believed in the God that we believe in, the God of the Creator, the God that was the creator of the universe, that same God that we're here to worship today, those people in the Old Testament, ancient history, they believed in a literal king, in a literal kingdom on a perfect earth that God had promised. They believed it way back then. In the New Testament, the apostles, the people that spent time, the most time, right with Jesus, they believed that too. They believed in a literal king reigning over a literal kingdom on a perfect earth that God had promised. And I want you to ask yourself, rhetorically, do you believe in a literal king who will reign over a literal kingdom on a perfect earth as God has promised? And if you do, how should that shape your behavior? And if you don't, why are you here? So let's turn to the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Didn't have my clicker on there. Okay. Thank you guys in the back. So this is on the screen, but I'd encourage you to read it from your own Bible and see if your Bible says the same thing. Because some of these, to be honest, were generated by ChatGPT and it inserts words sometimes. So check in your own Bibles to see if that's actually what the Bible says or not. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now, in Isaiah, the prophet is talking about in the Old Testament that there's going to be a kingdom that has no end, and there's no end to the peace that that kingdom has. And somebody's going to be literally sitting on David's throne. Now, is that happening today? No. We see no peace in Israel right now. If you just look up any news source about what's going on in Israel, you will see it's not peaceful there right now. But the belief of the people in the Old Testament was that there would be a time. Verse 7, at the tail end of verse 7 there, it says, "From that time on and forever," there would be a time when there's a kingdom that is peaceful. The expectation was a literal kingdom on the earth. That's clear from the Old Testament. There's other verses, like Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 5 through 6. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 through 6. Again, an Old Testament passage. It says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety." This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. So there's prophecy here of a future king who will reign wisely and justly in the land of Israel, and Israel will live in safety. Is that happening now? No. So if we're paying attention to what the world is telling us, we might hear, there's been nothing but turmoil in Israel for decades, centuries, millennia. There's certainly not peace in Israel right now. So why are you sitting out there in that pumpkin patch still, so to speak? Why are you still going to church and talking about this peace of Israel? Don't you see that you've wasted all your time? The stuff that's promised in the Old Testament hasn't happened yet. Is it ever going to happen? That's the message we could get from the world if we aren't careful. Now let's fast forward to the New Testament. After Jesus had risen from the dead, his disciples still expected a literal kingdom. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. This is the disciples who had spent about 3.5 years or so with Jesus. They'd witnessed that he had been crucified. They'd witnessed that he had been raised from the dead. And now they're asking him. Verse 6. "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?'" They knew, or they expected, that that's what was supposed to happen, is that at some point, all this bad stuff is supposed to be rectified and supposed to be made right. Verse 7, "He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" Even here, the disciples were waiting for Jesus to restore a physical kingdom to Israel. But Jesus didn't tell them they were wrong for expecting this. Jesus didn't tell them, "You're wrong, the kingdom thing, that's not going to happen. You missed the point." He didn't say that. What did he say? He simply told them that the timing wasn't for them to know, affirming that this kingdom was still coming, but the timing wasn't yet. He said, "You're to be my witnesses. Start right here locally, then branch out and take it to the whole ends of the earth. What you're expecting is still going to happen, but the timing isn't yet. Timing's not for you to know." A little farther on in that same chapter, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, says this, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." Imagine this with me. You're just talking to a guy who was raised from the dead, and you're expecting that there's going to be a new government in place here pretty soon, because this guy is obviously the Messiah. He raised from the dead, and now we don't know the exact times, but yes, he's just confirmed that we're still looking forward to a kingdom, a new government. And just moments later, he's taken up from them into the sky, and a cloud hides him from their sight. Verse 10, they were looking intently up into the sky, as I think we all would be, as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? To me, that sounds like a stupid question, but it's an angel, so who am I to say? But why do you stand here looking into the sky? Because Jesus just went into the sky, and the cloud hid him from my sight, and I'm trying to figure out where he went. Why aren't you looking into the sky? Might have been a question they would have asked. But what did the angel say? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into the sky will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus confirmed, yes, you're still looking forward to a kingdom. It's just not for you to know the timing. Angels confirmed, this same Jesus, not a different one. You're looking forward to this guy. You've got the right guy, but he's going to come back. Just like you just saw him go, he's going to come back. So Jesus will, according to the New Testament, return physically just as he ascended. This is not a spiritual truth, not a imaginary event or like a, something that just happens in the spirit realm where we can't see it, can't understand it. It's a literal event that we are still waiting for, or should be. It's a literal event when Jesus will return and establish that kingdom that was looked forward to in the Old Testament, looked forward to by his disciples. It's still coming. There is no peace in Israel at this moment, but it's still coming. It says Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. Turn with me there. This is the last book of the Bible. It's just neighboring pages to my favorite passage of the whole Bible, Revelation 21. I've said this many times. Revelation 21 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. We heard about that throne in the Old Testament. I heard a voice from that throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down. These words are trustworthy and true. So a voice is coming from a throne that just came down out of heaven in John's vision and Revelation, and the voice is saying, write this down. This is true. Jesus will come back. And if you don't believe that, then I ask you, respectfully, why are you here? Why do you keep coming to this pumpkin patch? And if you do believe it, then why aren't you acting like it sometimes? I'm including myself in that. If you do believe that this is true, then why don't we act like it? Why don't we act like it every day, every hour, every minute? Let's look at Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Reminds me of a song. Now that part sounds a little bit hard to imagine. You got robes dipped in blood, you got swords coming out of mouths, you got white horses coming out of the sky. Admittedly, that sounds a little bit like the story of the Great Pumpkin, like a little hard to believe. And this is, I think, where our peers, our coworkers, our community members, our neighbors look at us and say, are you really still going to that pumpkin patch again? There's some pretty odd stuff written in that Bible. So I want to ask you again, do you believe that this is real? If so, why aren't you living like it? And if not, then why are you coming to this pumpkin patch? I want to conclude. We're over time, but I want to wrap it up with this. Jesus gives us clear instruction. If we do believe what he's been saying, if we do believe that the Bible is true, then what should we do with this? Revelation chapter 24, verse 44. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44 says this. I want to start in verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. Verse 44 now. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Let us live in expectation that Jesus could return at any moment, or that our life could end at any moment. Let us live like we actually expect that, like we actually believe that. In closing, I'd like to sing one more hymn. This is hymn number 246, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I invite you to stand as we sing.